The presumptive Democratic presidential nominee, John Kerry, is looking for a vice presidential candidate. He has named a search committee to vet his short list of potential choices. NPR's Mara Liasson reports it's not easy to choose a running mate, and history is full of selections that didn't turn out the way the top of the ticket intended.
John Kerry's shortlist for vice president is full of interesting choices. North Carolina Senator John Edwards, young, southern, and charismatic, is the top pick of many Democrats who were impressed with his campaign for the nomination. Then there's Kerry's other former rival, Missouri Congressman Dick Gephardt, from the crucial electoral battleground of the Midwest. Others think picking Bill Richardson, the Hispanic governor of New Mexico, would be the best way to reach out to an important block of swing voters. All candidates want a vice president that will help them win, but for veterans of the vice presidential selection process, the most important thing is to avoid a choice that could hurt.
I can just tell you from my own experience in vetting, what you're looking for is anything that would cause a surprise.
Dick Moe was once Walter Mondale's chief of staff, and then he ran the vice presidential selection process for candidate Bill Clinton in 1992. Moe knows that the history of choosing vice presidents is full of unfortunate surprises, such as...
I come before you tonight as a candidate for the vice presidency and as a man whose honesty and integrity has been questioned.
In 1952, California Senator Richard Nixon was the choice of Dwight Eisenhower. In his famous televised checkers speech, Nixon had to explain an $18,000 slush fund set up for him by a group of supporters. Begging to stay on the ticket, Nixon threw himself on the mercy of the public.
Wire and write the Republican National Committee whether you think I should stay on or whether I should get off. And whatever their decision is, I will abide by it.
Nixon stayed on the ticket and went on to be vice president. Others were not so fortunate. Thomas Eagleton, George McGovern's number two pick in 1972, was dropped after it was revealed he had electroshock therapy for depression.
On three occasions in my life, I have voluntarily gone into hospitals as a result of nervous exhaustion and fatigue.
Then there was Geraldine Ferraro. In 1984, the first woman ever nominated by a major party for vice president. She spent weeks trying to answer questions about her family's tax returns.
I want to focus on the issues of this campaign. The issue is not, you know, my tax returns. Those are out. The issue is not whether or not we paid our fair share of taxes. We paid more than our fair share of taxes.
In 1988, George Bush Sr., who had been vice president for 8 years, decided to choose a young conservative senator from Indiana to be his number two.
Dan Quayle's a man of the future, a young man. A young man born in the middle of this century and from the middle of America. He's a dynamic young leader for
But Quayle had a problem
party,
peculiar to other young
party.
People of his generation, Vietnam. And although it didn't stop the ticket from winning, Quayle was dogged by allegations that he used family connections to get into the National Guard and avoid service overseas. It hurt his credibility as someone ready to assume the presidency. The Democrats even made ads about it, reminding voters that one in five vice presidents have had to assume the top job.
For this job, after 5 months of reflection, George Bush made his personal choice, J. Danforth Quayle. Hopefully, we will never know how great a lapse of judgment that really was.
University of St. Louis professor Joel Goldstein, an expert on the vice presidency, says that there's been a shift in thinking about how to pick a running mate. Years ago, candidates tried to find someone who would bring them electoral votes. Nowadays, says Goldstein, it's more common to use the number two choice to send a message. He says the 2000 race is a good example.
You try and send a message about who you are or what you value through your vice presidential pick, so that when Bush picked Cheney, he was sending a message that this is the sort of person that I'm going to bring to government. Similarly, when Al Gore picked Joe Lieberman, he was really declaring his independence from Bill Clinton. He was putting somebody on the ticket who had criticized Clinton's behavior in the Lewinsky scandal and who himself was very much of a spokesman for traditional values.
Political analysts also caution that it's rare when a running mate actually makes more of a 1 or 2 percentage point difference in either direction for a ticket. According to Dick Moe, even the troubled vice presidential candidacies of Nixon, Eagleton, Ferraro, and Quayle did not play a significant role in the outcome of those elections.
The vast majority of the American people vote for president. They may make a judgment about the person running for president by the selection he made, but seldom because of the vice presidential candidate, him or herself. So I would argue that it really matters much more for the long term. to have somebody in the White House that can be a president's partner and really be a great asset in governing.
And to pick someone who first and foremost will be viewed by voters as qualified and ready to move into the Oval Office, if necessary, in a heartbeat. Mara Liasson, NPR News, Washington.